I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to James and Flav for now. I'm going to go straight into a top comment, but we have some interesting talking points. And of course, our beloved patrons who are in the live chat right this second can add to those because it's a free-flowing podcast this week. We've obviously had the international break. I've got some new ideas. We've got some good tweets that we put out there. We've got some new headaches for Southgate after the last game yesterday, which we'll touch on briefly because I know a lot of people are a bit sick of all of that stuff. But Alcott got on the wave at the start of the international break and got himself a banger of a squad selector, which of course you can go and enjoy. Man City versus Arsenal. We can touch on that massive, massive game. But how massive? Just how specifically in meters and inches, how massive? Top four or five battle resumes. We'll talk about relegation briefly as well. And I've got a question here I've decided to chuck in. Who's the best Premier League manager never to win the Premier League? Got a list of names. We'll find out.
Interesting. The answer. Just that thing on how massive that game is. Like when you think about it, holistically.
Sure. Step
the
back.
The fact that football is never ending and never, you know, it's perpetually cyclical. Really doesn't matter at all. It's just another game in a never-ending stream of games, of which one day we'll all die and that's it.
We'll need 15 minutes on it though, Flav, if that's okay. Stick around for that. There's a new thing on YouTube, right? You've got these. There's this new thing, retention bar, where it shows. It'll give you a line where the new viewers, someone new to the channel, so someone you right now watching this, going, who are these two guys? They seem like lovely chaps. He's got a lovely bright shacket on there. Maybe they both could have worn a shacket. Truth is, I've just taken my shacket off. And he looks a bit like a fat Harry Potter. He seems nice enough. I might stick around for a bit with these two. There's Timbo. This that person you. There's a retention line for you, and then there's a retention line for returning people who've been sort of beaten down by us over the years. And I fear we've lost a few just then. But stick around.
Let me rephrase or move it on then. Did you see that Declan Rice said to John Stones, like, it's a big game Sunday, isn't it? It's a big game. John Stones, is it?
Yeah,
who are we playing?
Yeah,
us.
Your lot. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Doing it so a power question, move, isn't it? Power move, you're listening.
Is it a power move? So what does it say to you, Jim? Is it a power move or is it that the way Manchester City and Guardiola operates, certainly in the messaging they're giving to their players, is it just, this is our system, this is who we play, regardless of who we're against? Or should he, as a footballer, know that they're playing Arsenal in what could decide the title race?
I think it honks of a power move for me. What it does probably say is, you know, like I used to do this with Brentford before we got usurped by Brentford. We were like, oh, is it? It's like my mates were Brentford fans. They're like, oh, QPR Brentford soon. I was like, oh, is it? Tiny little Brentford can give a shit, mate. And I think what it's saying here is that Man City are still the A side and Arsenal want to be the A side. Obviously, they're just young pups, just giddy, desperate to get out of the kennel into the big wide world of Premier League titles. And John Stones is, you know, just out there, just, you know, with his bollocks out, enjoying himself and has been for 5 years.
James, you know there was that conversation. between Declan Rice and Manchester City and Arsenal, and it looked like he might be going to City.
Imagine if he'd gone. But he ended up,
well, this is my question. Would there even be a title race now if Rice was at City?
No. I don't think there would. I think there would be miles off. Do you know what as well?
Fuck did they let them go then?
Yeah. Well, because they paid a lot of money for him. Do you think, would Declan Rice be in the England, would his England squad place be under threat if he'd went to Man City and wasn't playing?
I mean, you probably have some impact because you needed... No, I mean, no. He saw his quality at West Ham. If he was going to live... well, I'm saying not playing. You're talking about he'd only played 10 games this season. Then you might have to look at how fresh he's going to be. Or ready, rather, he's going to be.
I'd love to have some... I wonder if there's any examples people can think of whilst we're chatting here of players that were playing for England, starting for England, comfortable for England. Everything was fine. Everything was rosy. They made a move and then they weren't really getting in the team. I've got a name now, actually. Calvin Phillips. Calvin Phillips wasn't... I wouldn't say he was comfortable. People were saying you can kind of do better than him, although he did very well in the Euros. Raheem Sterling is kind of one, but there's maybe other circumstances in that where you've got a lot of good players in those positions. I did a podcast with Niamh Stumpegg yesterday, and we were ranking every England player with over 10 starts under Southgate. And Sterling, I quickly watched the every goal from every England tournament under Southgate. And what it made me really, really worried. It made me quite concerned about having enough players in the box to score the like ugly little tap-in goals. Because Raheem Sterling scored a lot of those goals. And Raheem Sterling is the same person, and he's still in the peak of his career, but he's gone into a like shitstorm that is Chelsea. And now the guy who's played more games under Southgate than any other player has been completely frozen out. So it's a funny one if Andy Carroll. Was Andy Carroll ever really starting for England? I'm not sure that happened.
And how many wasn't there like an agreement, a decision that Southgate made? I remember that when Sterling came back into form, because when he first moved to Chelsea, or say certainly when I think maybe Potter came in, or maybe it had been the beginning of Pochettino's reign, he had a purple patch. He was one of the outliers of form, and people were talking about he should be brought back into the England squad. And Southgate goes, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, oh, we've made our decision. Like, this isn't... Do you remember this conversation?
I don't remember that. Like... I remember him doing well, and I remember it feeling unfair that he wasn't in the squad. And I always thought he was going to come back. Southgate.
Yeah, this question was posed to Southgate, and it was all the impression you got was, that's done. That bit's done.
Right. Like,
what we're building, that there's no place with Sterling. That's what it felt like.
You know? That's interesting. And
if there was an agreement that maybe it is at the end of his time at England, then maybe he shouldn't be brought back. Like, is there any world where Ben White should ever be brought back to England?
He ain't loyal. When you get the call up, you get the call up. And you absolutely do as you're told, don't you?
Honestly, between us, Jim, just between me and you, like no one else, don't let anyone else hear this, right? But there would be a little bit of me. You know what I like? I like being at home. Like, sometimes the opportunities, like, say, do you want to go and do this in another country? And I'm like, nah, I'd shoot myself in the face.
Mate, do you know what? It's a really good point, right? So I love international breaks, which I tell you about all the time, because I can switch off. You can switch off a bit, right? But if I got called up for England YouTube, I'd be like, oh, fuck off. Like, I just want a break.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd be like, I might go and do it if it's this prestigious honour. But also, I think if you're going and you're like, well, hang on, I'm not really going to start here, am I? I'm just going to sit here and train. And
exactly.
I could be in Dubai getting my eyebrows threaded.
Am I getting paid for this?
I think.
I've got to give it to charity, and I've got to be away from my wife and kids for 2 weeks.
That's it. Imagine, what's Ben White on? Like, at least 100 grand a week, right? Imagine.
Yeah, easy.
Right? He was just signing a new deal, isn't he? So to then go and waste this break that's been given to you... to not play and not be paid because they give their money to the charity, which I think is lovely. I kind of get it as things change and wiggle about. It's like,
especially if
he's not feeling it. But I would love to see him. Do you know what? from the games that we saw, I think there is a space there for him to just play as a centre-back with John Stones. That just, would be lovely to see.
He hasn't played any centre-back football.
No, I know he hasn't, but I don't think that means he can't do it.
So out of Colwill, Gay, Ben White, who's played as a right-back for 2 years, is better options than both of those?
What
about Branthwaite?
Branthwaite's coming. Six. I think it's a bit early for Branthwaite, personally. I think in that position, I like a bit more. I like a touch more age.
How old is he?
He's young. He's young enough. He's on his way.
He's old enough. He's good. He's young enough. He's good enough.
Look, if you're old enough, you're good enough. I've always said that. That's a joke. It's from Mike Bassett. Let's call that as a Samism, which actually we should touch on that. Bit of a niche joke again for the new viewers. Don't leave. Samisms have been a very big thing for a long time, but we, on our mailbag this week, made the exact decision that we are calling it a day with Samisms. We've done the joke. We understand it. And we will all think of each other and go, whenever a Samism arrives, but it's playing on our minds, it's playing on our hearts, and it's playing on our mouths, and we need to just sort of step back from that now.
I'll be sick of him for about 2 years, to be honest.
Yeah. See, that bee's, you know, he's a consummate pro, so he just sort of gets on it and just go, good. That's it. Well, I noticed that, didn't I, in the mailbag. If Flav does a short good, it's like, bothered. Not bothered. Mm. Move on. Good.
Jimbo.
Yeah.
Like, I want to talk about this international break. Because that result against Brazil, as you said in the mailbag, become a patron if you want to hear that. The Brazil result doesn't really matter, right? And you're right. It's experimental. That isn't nowhere near going to be the side that plays. Give players an opportunity. Belgium game, exactly the same thing. It doesn't matter. And my point is, Jim, is if it doesn't matter, and I genuinely with you here, mate, I believe that it doesn't matter, then why do it? Especially when you're in the tail end of the season where it's starting to heat up. Do we then have to be bored into nothingness for 2 weeks because Southgate needs a bit of time with his squad?
What about this, right? No games. Yeah. You meet up because it's preparation, right? It's preparation.
That's fine. Yeah.
Just meet up. And I guess, look, it all comes back to money, and you want to have friendlies to give people games, to give them opportunities. Like, Kobbie Mainoo being able to, like, step in at Wembley and play in those, in those arenas is good, because then down the line, he's done it already. So that's right, helpful.
How often do you see some of these periphery players do this in these games beforehand and maybe never play for England ever again? Lewis Dunk will never pull that shirt on again, ever. We know that. We all know that. So what the fuck is he doing there?
There's a couple, I think, have played their way out of the squad, actually. And I was like, you know, I love a squad selector. I do. And I was thinking, that's probably my last squad selector. I'm not sure now, because here's one for you. Like, in terms of, like, the Declan Rice thing, I was saying, yeah, in another world, he goes to Man City. He's not the first choice, because Rodri's the first choice. Maybe he's playing alongside him and he wants to be like this eight. Maybe he's like a John Stones. Maybe he wants him to turn him into that in some way. That could be interesting as well. But anyway, or he just doesn't play. The perception of him is very different. So I was watching the game yesterday and I thought, if Jared Bowen was playing for Liverpool, and what I will say to caveat this before, when I did my squad selector, I didn't focus on him. I didn't think about him. And I sort of skipped past him and a few people were annoyed. And that's fine. And I was like, yeah, but I think he's just missing out. He played, and I was thinking, if he was playing for Liverpool, people would be losing their minds about how great he is, because he has such energy. I really enjoyed him in that game.
I know what you're saying, and he's underrated, and it's weird that he's playing for West Ham should be such a seismic thing in deciding whether or not he's good enough to play for England, and clearly he is, because he played and should have, you know, he had a goal but he got ruled out. But the problem Jared Bowen has isn't necessarily that we're asking the question whether he's good enough to play for England. He clearly is. It's just, you know, he's not going to get in ahead of Saka and even Foden if he plays on that right hand side.
Also, the question I put out on Twitter, and people started to sway, I think, a little bit towards Bowen.
It's not disrespectful. That's what I'm saying. It's not as disrespectful as it seems.
Yeah, you're right. I had that same conversation with Niamh, where it's like, is it one where it's like, oh, I can't believe these guys have fallen off this way? Say like Jadon Sancho, who's not near the squad right now. Yeah. Or is it just going, well, actually, England have got so much depth now, especially in those areas, that It just kind of is what it is. But with Bowen, the other thing I started thinking about was in terms of like players that we've got, because it could be down to him versus Cole Palmer. And Cole Palmer's great. Like, we know he's great, right? But if you kind of know who your starters are or your first 13 are, anyone else who's coming on, they have to come on to affect the game. And so in terms of affecting the game, there's a coolness about Cole Palmer, but if you're playing against a low block, that might be of use. But what I really liked about Jared Bowen is his energy. He sort of scurries and he changes the tempo of the moment of whatever passage of play it is in a game that can be quite slow. And like the Brazil game in particular was very, very slow. And so with that in mind, is those players that are not going to start but are going to come on, do you want a player who... I also think Jared Bowen would be like, I'm buzzing to be here. Let me affect the game. And that's why he was so good yesterday, I think. Whereas I wonder, and I'm projecting a little bit here, but you wonder, would he be a better sub to bring on than a Cole Palmer who's like, I should be start... He might have an attitude where he's like, because he's, you know, because he's class and he's used to being the main guy going, I should be starting here. Mm. And he's a little bit pissed off. Do you know what I mean? All those things actually are quite important. But yeah.
I it's a great question. It's a great question, and I think if, to answer that, if it's just as simple as that, and you can remove even the Cole Palmer attitude things. We don't know.
And that's just because he's languid. He's nonchalant and he's sort of calm in his style, which again is a superpower. But it's different.
100% understand why you brought it up. I really do. But just in terms of how they play football, if you're playing against low block against Denmark, for example, and they want to sit back and force you to unpick them, then Cole Palmer could work. But there are instances, and would Cole Palmer do more than or do something different than Foden?
Madison. Not. Yeah, exactly.
Or Madison, yeah. But Bowen, if we were chasing, we were one behind, or even ahead and looking to hit him on the counter, Bowen offers something that perhaps none of the others do.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't hate it at all if Bowen was a part of the squad.
Yeah.
Who would I want him to sign at Spurs? I'd rather have Cole Palmer over Bowen. But in terms of tournament football, is Bowen's useful?
I think more and more there needs to be a better acceptance of profiles. And especially when you're building a squad, what you want is different profiles. So the other thing that came from yesterday for me was, say in this squad, you've got Rashford, who can play on the left and the right. Foden, who can play on the left and the right. Grealish, who can play on the left and the right. Madison, who can play on the left. Bellingham, who can play on the left. Watkins, who can play on the left. Saka, who can play on the left and the right. Why is there this thing that like, well, it's going to be Kane and one more? When actually, if you're going for a game, there might be one where you need a profile where you need Watkins. Or there might be a profile where you're getting to penalties now. And you want Tony on, or you want a bigger guy on as well. So like, that's the other thing. It's like, we all just go, well, it will be two strikers because you can't have three. But like, of course you can have three. Like, if you've got other guys who can play in different positions. So I wonder if Southgate might take both.
How do you anticipate England setting up in the Euros?
Like, I really think this international break has made me question a lot of stuff. It's more like there's one or two where I'm like, I think Conor Gallagher has just played himself out. I think he's out.
Okay.
I think Kobbie Mainoo's
in. In terms of a system, what is he doing?
I think that the midfield looked really, really good. And I went for, people won't know this, but I was with Christian Hurley today. We went for breakfast. And we're chatting about football and chatting about midfield and how it's changed since we were playing, like, proper. And I remember when Giggs started playing centre midfield, and I remember thinking, oh, that's horrible. I'd hate to play in midfield against you. Because the midfield that I know, and this is something I think we all have to get past and actually be excited about, and I'll get to England, it's going there, is that, so when I played and when a lot of people played, it's your centre midfielders are three touch players and they don't dribble with the ball. They get it, they move it. And then when Giggs played in midfield, he's a dribbler, right? But he's not got the same amount of pace, but he's still got that great understanding to beat a player. So he was getting the ball and dribbling it. And so for me, the idea of centre midfielder for me to have to deal with him dribbling at me, but also where he's passing, that's a lot to deal with, right? What was so great about the Brazil game was, sorry, what was so great about the Belgium game was that midfield of Mainoo, Rice and Bellingham, in an old way of thinking, Declan Rice sits there and he plays three touch. In an old way of thinking, Kobbie Mainoo kind of stays out the way and spots things. And in an old way of thinking, Bellingham is an attacking midfielder. But they could all play six. They could all play eight. They could all drive with the ball. They could all play a crossfield pass. They could all play a short pass as well. And that, the mix of those two things, when you then add Foden in there as well, that fluency of being the ability to dribble past players, which Kobbie Mainoo did for the first goal, and Bellingham could do, and all these guys can do, alongside the other side of it, was felt glaring to me. And we looked so much better in terms of playing the ball forwards. And so I think sometimes you have to go with that and go, this Mainoo lad is the bollocks. And he has to play ahead of Henderson and Conor Gallagher. Conor Gallagher was woeful. And he made Rice look worse. That's a big thing as well.
There's no chance that Foden can play midfield.
I think it's like a box. So you kind of, he's attacking midfield, like, and he comes and helps out. Because that was the other thing. So what the rant we were kind of going on between us was that sometimes people talk about football and they're not thinking about the sort of little things that you think about in football. So by that, I mean, at a lower level, when someone throws the ball to someone, you just run at them. Because you'll get a tackle because you know their touch is shit. And they know that, so they just whack it, right? Whereas at a higher level, you know that guy's going to have a good touch. So if I just run at you, you're just going to play it back to the guy with the throw, and then he's going to play it back to someone else. So you instead of running into them, you wait. And then the next layer above that is that, okay, they know they're getting the ball, but they know that you're not jumping in. So like, there's layers to that. So that needs to be like kept in mind as well with all of this as well, I think. And I just think those guys are like a level above in terms of these layers, and to still be able to sort of affect the game, change the game and move us forward as a team. That's the three. And we saw it. I think we saw it pretty glaringly.
Mainoo's, he's had an incredible season. Very difficult. 18 years old. And he's just excelled. He looks like even in the struggling Man United side, he looks like an outlier in terms of someone who understands what his role is and what he needs to do in order to give Manchester United the best chance of winning the game. And even when like experienced players around him like Rashford is failing and Bruno might be failing, this kid just shows such a level of maturity that belies his age.
And a coolness, right? And I think sometimes that's the thing as well. That's the other thing we were talking about football. Is like sometimes different players have different status levels. That makes sense. And you'll go, we'll give it. And the problem I thought we had in the Brazil game is that Bellingham's status is too high. So he's the guy. Get the ball to Bellingham. He's our attacking guy. So everyone's trying to get the ball to him. And the other thing in terms of that status is then Bellingham gets the ball and he looks and he goes, well, Foden's miles over there. And Watkins, I don't think Bellingham's totally certain about Watkins. But what you do see all the time, and I bet everyone listening to this will know exactly what I'm talking about as I say it, anyone who's played, is that sometimes either people in your team, there'll be two guys that just, they like each other. They want to pass to each other. So QPR, the great team we had with Tarap. Tarap wouldn't pass to anyone. He'd never pass to Sean Derry. He'd always pass to Ali Fowling because he'd get it back. Or he'd be able to find him in a different way. And Bellingham, when you talk about Foden, Bellingham, there's a lot of guys that he won't pass to. He will pass to Foden. And he passed to Foden all the time. And so that's another thing I think Southgate will have seen here is that Foden's got to play centrally along with Kane.
Yeah, definitely.
Because Bellingham bounce along with him.
Yeah. Also, you've got a midfield that has no fear.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? There's no failure imprinted in those players. Rice's trajectory to wherever... even if he fails to win the league with Arsenal, which God willing, he will, but his trajectory is one that's rising, and so is Mainoo, and obviously Bellingham's is. He's like considered probably to be the best player in Europe at the moment, or the world, therefore. So you've got a midfield there. If it is those three, it's definitely two of them, right? But if it is those three... That would be that would make complete sense, and that's exactly why Southgate won't do it. It will be Conor Gallagher start. You know you will.
so that's where it's like, I think the Southgate in out thing, right, which we're not going to do, but the thing where you can, so Niamh said this yesterday, we had this similar conversation yesterday, and she was saying, she was of the thought that, so first of all with Southgate, she's saying, I'm getting to a point where I understand that maybe enough's enough, because he needs to be able to get more from that group. I wonder if he knows exactly what he's doing, and he's going to play the team that we probably all want to see, really. And I think that's why Bellingham played so many minutes, and why Foden played so many minutes, and Rice played so many minutes. He wants those guys sort of playing together.
It's not those guys, though, is it? It's the additional one. It's that conservative pick that he always makes, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's about. That's what he's been like.
That's it. That's the question. That is the question. Because Niamh was saying, I've always believed that Conor Gallagher should be the third midfielder, because she believes that the third midfielder needs to be that combative, cautious one, because that's international football and that's Southgate and so on and so on. And she said, like, what do you think? And I was like, no, I don't think that. I think you could play if you wanted to. And I don't think he will, because I think he wants to be, he wants an out and out left back, which could be probably going to be Chilwell, which worries me a touch. But you can play.
You play
Mainoo, Rice, Bellingham, and Foden, and it's exactly what you're saying. And this is the final question for Southgate: is stop being concerned and let them be concerned about you. And that's where we are now. And that's what we need to, that's what we have to be. The concern is that the goals come from us making stupid mistakes. So are we going to be safe enough to stop that? I don't know.
It needs a sprinkling of Pep or something more realistic of Postecoglou, where he's going like, that's his whole ethos. He's the polar opposite of Southgate. And there are failings in what he does, because he's so intent on attacking and making sure that they have to be scared of us. They need to be talking about us. They need to be reactive to us. If you just sprinkle a little bit of that on Southgate, I'm saying a little bit less conservative. And, you know, you might look at his body of work, and I'm sure he does as a pragmatist, looks back at his body of work and what he's achieved in inverted commas for England and go, I'm pretty proud of that. Like, he's got us to finals and semi-finals earlier. We haven't been in for decades.
But you know what? That's a great point, because if you look at the body of work, there's a lot of things that if you did that, then make decisions. And so I watch those every goal from those tournaments, and it's the tournaments that matter. And then we sort of looked at these players, and some of the players that have been really crucial for him time and again have been Henderson, Maguire and Sterling. And so, and two of those he's kind of, you know, he's stuck with, but he's evolved with the other ones. But also it's been built on, if we've got a really great team, and we don't concede, we'll probably score. And even if we don't score, we haven't lost. Mm. That is cautious, but that's also maybe could be considered like winning football. So,
will you pick Henderson, do you think?
I think he'll take him. Yeah. I think Gallagher drops out. For sure.
Do you think he should take him?
Yeah, we had this conversation as well.
Let's move on. Listen to the podcast.
I enjoy talking about it. But like, no, I think there's, again, we disagreed on it. I totally understand why he would take him for sporting reasons solely. And I think he's already made his decision that he is going to take him. And again, if you look at the body of work, he's crucial in 2018. He's very useful in 2020, and he's brilliant in 2022. I know that's not there.
We've got to move on. We've got to move on.
But I don't think he, for someone who's just going to be in the squad and play 20 minutes and not going to start, I don't think he needs to move on from him, because I think that's the difference with Sterling. This is a really good point. I think Sterling's a bit cold and is a different kind of leader. I think he's a leader, but he's a different kind of leader to Henderson and Maguire. And I think that's why he keeps Henderson and Maguire. And also the other thing with Maguire, and again, looking at that body of work, is that set pieces. Maguire is absolutely crucial with set pieces. And they win, a lot of the games are tight. Like even the England-Italy game, which like he gets a lot of heat for. Italy's goal is from a set piece. So like that, those things matter. Those things all add up. And I think he really does take that all into account, which leads to it being pretty frustrating. But the question is, come on now, we've got Kobbie Mainoo, we've got these guys, we need to just go and batter people. But and I think
make
we can
a statement in the group as well. Make a statement. Yeah, make a statement, beat people well, be convincing. And then from a knockout perspective, you know, if you get three wins in a group stage or two wins, two good wins and a draw, you're buzzing going into the knockouts. So yeah, that's what needs to be happen.
You slap up just the on first Henderson.
He's not gone down very well in Holland, in Amsterdam.
Has he not?
He's getting some stick.
He's not playing well.
Says all he does is. I think he's playing how he plays. He's playing his game, but for Ajax they have a different idea of what a footballer should be and what a midfielder should do. And he's come under criticism from pundits and whatnot, saying all he does is pass sideways and backwards.
Oh really? Did you see the interview of the guy going, "Don't you think you guys should have played forwards a bit more?" And he's like, well, "Yeah, I mean, really, you're asking me that now? Like, come on."
It was like, who is it that Sherwood asked? Cole Palmer said, "You need all new players.
Yeah, you need better players." And Cole Palmer,
guy was like, "Wait, mate, come on,
man,
fucking idiot."
I know you can't say that, but I can say that. You're a fucking idiot, Tim. Do you know what? I had a conversation with Tim Sherwood once. I said, we've got this guy on loan, Adel Taarabt, he's from your lot. What do you think? And he went, he's fat.
Is that it?
And yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I was like, okay. You said, yeah, he's decent, but he's fat.
Do you think it was...
Which was true, but a bit basic. Was
he pieing you off because he didn't want to give you the time?
We had a long walk, so you better talk to him. but yeah, I see. It seems to get over it. How do you feel about Man City, Arsenal? I know that's a dangerous question to ask.
We're moving towards the area of season where I sort of put my Manchester City hat on again.
Sure.
Last year, glorious end to the season. Spurs were just non-existent. We were in free fall. The whole club was imploding. And so you just think, I'm not getting much from watching Newcastle batter us 5-1 or the game after in Liverpool putting three past us in the first 19 minutes. It's kind of, you're left, Jim, and you may know this. I don't know if you have ever experienced this, but imagine watching your team and that they're so bad that you feel nothing at all, right? That's where I was at the end of last season. But what was quite mildly interesting was the fact that Arsenal and Manchester City were going head-to-head, weren't they? And so every single goal that Manchester City scored and Arsenal conceded, it was like watching Spurs. It became as important. So I guess moving towards the end of the season now, that's where we're at. I think I haven't watched a great deal of Arsenal. Cards on the table. Because I get nothing but bad feelings watching them win, right? It makes me feel sick inside. And nor have I, you know, the
because this is it now. This is it. You know when you're like the bottle conversation that we've had a few times, it's now. The time is now. And the one thing...
They don't feel like this.
I agree.
It's not the same conversation. No. Whereas last year, I was convinced they were going to bottle it. This year, I'm certainly not. I'm worried as a Spurs fan, genuinely. They don't look like or play like or the way people talk about them. And the impact that Declan Rice has had, they don't look like the team that that will capitulate again.
Do you know what I think?
What does that mean, Jim?
I don't think they're going to lose many games, right?
Yeah.
And I think it is different. I do think it's different. I agree with you. What I was wrong about, because I'm always of the idea that like one game doesn't really matter that much. Mm. But they are obviously big games as well. The thing that I think is interesting with this one is that it is off the back of an international break. And therefore, the build-up of momentum, like the air in that sort of hot air balloon of looking to sort of sail off into the sunset of victory, was sort of like they were they were getting that, you know, when you see the hot air balloon, it's like, bah! Bah! Mm. Getting loads of them. And Arsenal, they were about to like hover up into the distance. And then international break, it's like they got the ropes. Just pull them back down again.
This is why it's pointless. That's why it should be like they should remove them.
Well, no. So this is good for you because Arsenal have now lost the hot air that was there, right? So now, this game away from home at Man City, where they have had, I'd love to know the list. I think Haaland dropped out. De Bruyne dropped out due to injury. It seems stupid for them to even start the game to then go off. Walker and Stones, you feel like, I'm sort of almost like, are they actually injured? I know that would be such a dangerous thing to do, you know, with so many people watching. So I think they probably are a touch injured. I would be blown away if both teams don't have every single player that was available before it goes in available after.
A club should be able to go, we're not giving you our players, not at this time of the year. You can have them in October. You can maybe have them in January. But at this point, we're not releasing our players for international duty for two friendlies. I'm sorry, there's just too much at stake. You can have your meltdown. Gammons can have their meltdown. Everyone can melt down. We're paying their fucking wages and their cost of fortune. And our legacy and their legacy of footballers are going to be dictated about what happens in the run into this season, not against two meaningless friendlies that have no bearing on the international tournament in the summer. Clubs should just say, we're not sending them. You're not having them.
But where does that stop? You do that with one or two players, then everyone, you know, say someone like Watkins. Ollie Watkins is more important than any of those players for his club.
They shouldn't be able to pick them. Pick your development players, pick whatever. Don't have them, James. The answer is do not have them.
Yeah. That's where it's when maybe you take away the games. This is how, look, you're going to train. This is how we want you to train. We're not going to train any more than you would train with your club. I don't know. I think it's a little bit dangerous. But I think, or I you just move away the mark, move away from March. Do you do when's what's late enough but early? What's after the start of the year but early enough for you? Then February. Start of February.
Sort of January, maybe January. I know there's sort of a winter break, isn't there, off sorts.
Yeah, where do you want your break?
I mean, honestly, what I want is absolutely no international breaks at all during the season. Go into the summer, shorten the season down, have it end by early May. So you played all your games in a short amount of time. Then you give him, the FA can arrange as many fucking friendlies as they want then. And then you give him a 6-week period of which he needs to train his team and get his team ready. There is no, can anyone remember, or can Southgate take anything away from the friendlies that were played or the qualifiers that were played in fucking September? But what he could do, this is what I'm saying, is like take away qualifiers as well. All the best teams just play in every tournament. And then some of the little teams should qualify if they have to, if we have to have them in there.
He doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean that.
I kind of mean it. Like, what's the point in Georgia being there? What's the point? Yeah. It's just going to get pattered.
We've lost him.
Sorry.
We've lost him. We've lost him. Shame.
It's a dream, isn't it? It's a dream, but fuck, you know.
But yeah, I think for that, for like the loss of momentum there. But as, I think as in terms of like the consumer, in terms of a bit of variance and actually a break from the Premier League, to not have non-stop Premier League for that whole period, I think is actually
good
for us all. Because we're all like, yeah, it's back or whatever. But that game, but coming back to the game, I think Man City Arsenal now, for Arsenal, I think more so, because of that element of momentum. I've been watching a lot of things recently, and these sort of ex players do talk about momentum a lot, because if Arsenal win that game, it's on. And I think even if they don't lose it, it's on. But if they lose it, there will be that naturally, like there'll be that feeling of, oh no.
Will they lose it, Jim?
I would expect Man City to win it.
I don't think Arsenal are going to lose. Genuinely,
I think they're both all the way. How much quite happy?
Absolutely. They're doing backflips, you'd imagine. But what? But how much of that, Jim, is reality? Given that you've watched a lot of both teams, or how much of it is my fear just playing into it that I don't want it to happen so much that I think it might do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. I think it's so close between the two of them. I do, because I think Arsenal are like as good as anyone at stopping someone else playing the way they want to, but are they better than everyone else in terms of breaking them down and getting the goals themselves? Like they'd be slapping teams, but they'd be slapping teams in turmoil over this calendar year. Mm. So this is different. But that they have the set piece thing is a great thing for them, because that's that way of finding goals, and then you kind of have that shutout. Comes back to Southgate a little bit in a sense that, like, in those tight games, it will probably come down to something like that. I think they're in a really good place. I do think they're in a really good place. I think it's a shame that they've lost that momentum. If they'd gone straight into that game, then I think it would have felt a lot different. And I think that then you can kind of going into Man City's back garden, you're thinking they should have the season pros to get it done. But there could be a changing of the guard here a little bit. I wondered about that. I got put in my place a little bit by someone who educated me on the fact that De Bruyne apparently is struggling with an injury again, or was, and therefore you, and he wasn't in the internationals, was he? So that kind of adds to that. But I felt like in the Liverpool game, he looked leggy, like he didn't have it, if that makes sense. So I'd be intrigued to know if that happens again in a game like this, you're like, oh, is it like these sort of games are now passing him by instead of him being the guy that makes the difference, which he did even a year ago. And it might be just a year where he's not had the same amount of football, so he's not back up to his standards. But that could leave the door open for Arsenal doing something. I think Kai Havertz is crucial. I think Kai Havertz is really, really important, because he needs to be able to affect the game for them. And I do feel like Arteta I wonder if Arteta's, I think he's got maybe these new ideas. I think he's so good, mate. I know obviously you don't like him. I think he's bloody good as a manager. I think it'll be a draw probably. And we move on, which will be good. But that's why, I'm going to do a final predictions on the three. But I was like, oh, should I do it this week? And I was like, you can't do it before that game. Can't. Top four. Who definitely won't finish fifth, Flav?
Who won't finish fifth?
They do start, bench, whatever, right? Yeah. You've got Man United, Tottenham, Villa. You have to say right now, one of these guys won't finish in the top five. Who do you think that will be?
Well, the obvious thing to say would be Manchester United.
Sure.
But their form is no worse really than both Tottenham and Villa's. They have sort of turned a corner to some degree.
What's their running like? Look. It's not Man United specific.
So they got Brentford away, then Chelsea away, then Liverpool.
Brentford, Chelsea, Liverpool, Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Burnley, Palace, Arsenal, Brighton. Oof. But then Spurs and Villa have both got really tough ones, right?
There's enough football left. Everyone's got to play significant games anyway. So, and Spurs, in our last performance against Fulham, that was probably our worst worst performance of the season. It was dire. It was absolute toilets. So, and you know, Villa have, I think they've lost. They drew their last game, didn't they? Just after the after we lost, they played. I can't remember they played the next game, Villa, but they didn't capitalize on the fact that we got battered. So it's very close, but just on the amount of points that Manchester United need, they'll have to require us to lose a couple or drop points twice consistently, and they'd have to win consistently. It's difficult for them. So it's between us and Villa, I think.
Ooh!
It's not
How's Spurs fan base? Everyone all right?
I think generally quite happy, yeah. I mean, like, if you think about how where we were at the start, well, this time last year in complete disarray, and Postecoglou's come in and turned it around completely. We had a sporting director that had been sacked, actually banned for 30 months from global football for cooking books. We got a chairman in Daniel Levy who was supposed to be stepping away, now having to find a new head coach, a new sporting director, plus sign players because our squad was desperately thin. Well, not desperately thin compared to others, but it was thin in terms of what our aspirations are or what we hope to achieve. So it just seemed like too much work to do to have even... We were kind of writing this season off. And Postecoglou's come in and, you know, we're now in touching distance of a top four spot or a Champions League spot if we get fifth place. So it's important to remember that context when deciding whether or not you're happy at Tottenham at the moment. There are fans out there that are disgruntled because that seems to be their starting point, to be disgruntled about everything. And... You know, being honest, in a weird way, the worst thing that happened is winning all those games at the start of the season. Because then you're like, hold on, hang on, we're going to win the league.
Hang on a minute, good day.
We should bloody win the league. And the reality is we wasn't there. So I think overall very happy that, you know, you've got players turning down major European clubs to sign for Tottenham. Money to spend... We've positioned ourselves in a good. I think we're going to give Postecoglou everything he requires to be successful, and it's going to be down to how good he is. That's the state of play currently, I suppose.
Joe, after getting slapped, the last game was Fulham, wasn't it? After getting slapped, do you know? What was the best thing that happened was the fact that it was the year anniversary of Conte, to allow everyone to go, oh yeah, yeah, sorry, it was horrific a year ago, so let's just chill.
Yeah. Look, someone said to me, we said a similar position to that we were last season, but playing good football is kind of where I was at. Like, let's just change the ethos around the football club. Let's make it feel good to follow our team again after 4 years of Mourinho and Conte. And not only has he done that, he's exceeded that.
Can I ask a question? The chat's asking for us to talk about bridges. I'm confused. Can someone explain? What on earth you're talking about?
Wayne Bridges.
Yeah. What's his name? What's the comedian? Bridge chat. Bridge chat. Kevin People Bridges. Want us to talk about bridges. I don't get it.
Do you genuinely not get it, or you?
Genuinely don't get it. Am I missing something?
You haven't seen the bridge in Baltimore that got hit by a container ship and now fell into the sea.
I haven't seen that.
Fucking, he's so busy. The boy is busy. He works hard. It's not his fault. He's working like this is global news, James. For fuck's sake.
Fucking hell. It's shocking. I am shocked. Do you know what happens? Fam says, she'll be reading the news. I go, tell me. Can you just tell me it quickly?
Yeah.
So I can stay on top of it. You're better off.
Six dead.
Why do people want us to talk about that, though?
I don't really know why they want us to talk about that. There's conspiracy theories now, aren't they, coming out that it was hacked and it was actually a Russian thing and they hacked the boat to crash it into Baltimore for some reason.
How am I getting in trouble?
It's mental that you haven't even heard of it, Jim. I don't know what you've been doing because it's all that's been talked about on the news.
When? You just How long? You
have, I'd say for 72 hours. 3 days.
That's bad. That is bad.
but
love football,
but
know?
James, but if you're... I know this is the thing is... I envy you because I'd rather be in that situation.
Yeah.
But you're just busy, mate. You've got lots to do. You're fucking
and
busy.
Do you know what? I mean, I thought I knew my audience, but they want me to talk about something where people have lost their lives. I don't really understand. I thought this was supposed to be a bit of a... How am I supposed to link people back to fucking football chat now?
Six sick individuals.
Hmm. Top comments.
Okay.
I mean, I can read the article now if you want me to.
No,
I don't know what I'm supposed to. What am I going to offer? That's what I was saying. You know, I don't think there's much insight for me. I know very little on Bridges or Baltimore.
James, let me explain it to you in like 10 seconds and you have to have some sort of response, right? Okay, so what happened was there's a massive container ship, right, going through a busy shipping lane in Baltimore, right? Baltimore's a hub for vehicles, right? Bringing vehicles in and out, apparently. This ship, in the middle of the night, crashed into this bridge and all of it fell in the water. Right. There were six construction men fixing potholes the bridge. They're all dead. Give us your response.
That's really sad. I'm really sorry.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Shouldn't be happening. Shouldn't be happening.
Shouldn't be happening this day, Lee.
Football. Right. This was top comment last week. Gear change, everyone. Gear change. Prince Twinkle Jeff says, and this was the top comment, 197 likes, 10 replies, and actually there were good ones as well. Picking a football club was the worst decision I've ever made. It instantly made me massively rattleable. Which is the word we coined a couple of weeks ago, for the rest of my life. James Williams replied, agreed. I can't believe how open we all are about the team we support. So I thought that's interesting. You know, like there should be a rule that like you shouldn't say who you vote for. Some people say that. Like you shouldn't say who you vote for. Should there be something similar in terms of who you support? So you can not let people know.
Secret. Yeah. I mean, it should be rude to ask who you support. And I do it often. Who do you support then, mate?
Yeah.
And then, so often they'll go, Man United, oh, well, at least it's not Arsenal. That's all I'd say.
That's what you're after.
But yeah, typically, no.
But what's your top six team? It would be like openly shouting out your biggest weakness to a room full of bullies. And then to even wear a t-shirt dedicated to your greatest insecurity for all to see. It's a funny thing we enjoy, isn't it? Palmer Man said, I was speaking with one of my friends the other week and she said, why do you care about football so much when it doesn't actually matter? The best answer I came up with was, I don't know why. Dildo Baggins replied saying, out of all the unimportant things, football is the most important. And James G said,
that just has the most impact, yeah, for something that means very little in the grand scheme of things. It means everything.
It's a big business. And James G said, it makes a little more sense to get defensive if the team is your hometown. But when you're some lad from Essex who supports Liverpool, which has literally no English players in it, why care? They don't even have the remotest connection. Now, do you know what? I can hear people going, Liverpool fans going, no, Harvey Elliott and other English players. Trent. Someone did that. Okay. So just cleared that one up. Don't worry. So yeah, it is a weird one. Is it that, would you say, picking a football club. Some of us don't get to choose. Some of us don't get to choose.
I didn't get to choose. I lucked out massively. My dad could have fought with anybody.
Yeah. I've seen more trophy wins than you, though.
I want Jim.
Should we move on? Roll Gary. He said last week that the last video I did was probably the most disrespectful video I've ever seen.
Oh, God, what now?
But I just thought was the only reason I popped that in there was...
What was
firstly,
disrespectful?
We did a combined 11, didn't we? Was the sort of, first of all, just to remind me to say, get a fucking life. And secondly, to say, honestly, don't worry about it. And thirdly, the word disrespect in football. It's quite interesting, isn't it? There's a lot of like...
You do sometimes listen to a sort of... You can make an assumption about where we're at as a human race. And a society, a Western society, when you see how fans react to what they consider to be injustices in their football club, it's like alarming.
Yeah, it's a funny world we're in. You said you've been taking a bit of a break from Twitter. I got myself a bit addicted to it. Like, I'd never really been that addicted, and then here I am. I asked people for their 1 week bans. We've got a few here. Ali's probably, hopefully, still here. Says international break discourse. Fuck. England squad. Shit. Picking a random player to call overrated. This is interesting. I haven't seen this. I've been able to dodge this.
Telling them.
Well, no. So apparently Thierry Henry was the flavour of the month here. Lampard versus Gerrard versus Scholes, etc. It is some, a big part of football scene these days in terms of...
Thierry Henry is definitely overrated. Definitely overrated.
Oh, I thought you might have something to say on that. He's...
Like they talk about him like he's Maradona or Pele or Ronaldo levels. That's how they talk about Thierry Henry, Arsenal fans.
I mean, he's the best Premier League player of all time.
Is he? I don't know.
Not the best. Not the best striker. Different question. Isn't it? Yeah. Very different.
Okay,
very
all right. Different. Look, I'll tell you what. You can have that if I can have best striker in the Premier League era.
Fine. Fine.
But different, what you said roles. Is nonsense. It's also it's like oh, well, he's in the best team, the fucking Invincibles team. But of course, he's going to be great.
Yeah. So that leads me on to the I would say the best manager who never won the Premier League. I'd like there'd be another one where it's like best striker that never played for a top six team would be an interesting one as well. See who are those people that knocking about and they were unbelievable.
Yeah, that is a good shot.
Striker would be good, wouldn't it? Maybe do striker next week. Calvin Lewin. Huh?
No, Kevin Phillips.
Kevin Phillips. I did think Kevin Phillips briefly. I did think him.
Yeah.
I think who never got the step up to play that sort of level, but consistently score goals year after year. I think I need to go away and put a list together. Who was score goals?
The best manager who wouldn't win the league though.
So the best manager to never win the league. Here are some options: Rafa Benitez. And I'll give it written down. Got Rafa Benitez. You've got Louis van Gaal, but I don't want to go down that route of like they did well elsewhere. Like it was like they had a great time in England, but they never won the league. Consistently successful in the Premier League whilst not winning the Premier League or football. So Rafa Benitez, Harry Redknapp, Eddie Howe, Sam Allardyce, Jerry Francis. Check him in there. Did well, didn't he? Did all right. Bobby Arteta. Robson. Bobby Robson did well.
Arteta hasn't won it.
Arteta's a good shout. Arteta's a really good shout, yeah. I thought the answer I got to, and I think it is the correct answer.
Pochettino.
Reese says, these are shocking shouts, Jim. Reese, I look forward to hearing loads of better names than the one I've just put forward. But the correct answer, correct answer, I believe, is David Moyes.
It's boring, don't it? It's not a video. It's not a title for a video. You wouldn't do that. Not on YouTube. You wouldn't
That's where you don't put the name in it, isn't it? You put the blank. Why? Blank, 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 blank.
Little question mark.
Yeah. Is the best Premier League manager never to win the title. Bit long.
In order to be a good Premier League manager, you need to be consistently employed. And there's no greater than him in that respect.
That's a good point. Unai Emery, people saying. He's only had one good year, hasn't he? I think Emery's not the worst shout. Not the worst shout. It's hard though, isn't it? Like that's what the point I'm trying to make here is that if you aren't one of the big boys to stick around for a long time and be successful within your means is incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult.
Version of a European title literally 2 years ago or a year ago. Was it a year ago? A year ago, yeah. So
Ali says, I think that only great Premier League managers win the league. Bollocks. Ali, that is utter bollocks. And I'll tell you why. Because it's like going, if you have everything that you need to build a building, right? You've got all the bits you need, loads of money to do all that stuff, like loads of staff, everything you need. You've got a better chance of building an incredible building than if you've got less. It's literally fucking that simple. Okay.
Yeah, that's why if Rob Edwards keeps looting up, he should be manager of the year.
Fact.
Ali wouldn't have that. Ali's so close-minded, such a close-minded little individual.
Yeah.
Such a, you know.
Get the blinkers on. You got the wow. Got the blinkers on. Brendan Rodgers, maybe a shout. Brendan Rodgers did well. Won an FA Cup.
You motherfucker, Ali.
All right. Yeah. Well, Danny Berenson chucking Ali under the bus here. which we've never gone for, Ali, till now. But here it comes. Ali says, Ali also hates iced coffee, so...
I'm with him there. 100% with him there.
I mean, on the right day, makes sense. Tuchel? Well, he failed, didn't he, ultimately? Failed with an embarrassment of riches. Ultimately.
With all of those...
Do you know what I thought of? What about Silva? Moments. Marco Silva? It's all right, isn't he? It's okay. It's okay. Quite like
him. Yeah, he's good. Yeah. I think of all the players that you've mentioned...
Hodgson?
I'd have Tuchel, probably, and Marco Silva.
Poch? Probably.
If you can't give it... You can't give it to Poch and not give it to Martinez. No, is it Martinez? Sorry, who do you... Yeah, Rafa Martinez. No, what's his name? Benitez. Fucking hell. Right. You can't give it to Poch instead of Benitez. It's Benitez. He won a fucking Champions League, for fuck's sake.
With a bad squad. Yeah.
It's Benitez.
And did great with Newcastle. The correct answer is probably Rafa Benitez. You're right.
Leverkusen haven't
if they beat Leverkusen, West Ham fans forevermore less.
You can't. You've just got to accept that he's going to be your manager forever.
You're joy. You were like, Nicky Hawkins. He's not wanted David Moyes for some time. Full time happens, and he'll turn to his mates, and he'll go, "Guess that's it then. Guess we've got David forever." Yeah. I don't think that's the worst thing.
But the bloke, there's a bloke who rang up Talksport, and they had all their fucking old school Talksport pundits, like fucking Alan Brazil and Andy Townsend and Pasquarino. See, what West Ham fans have got to be more accepting is that David Moyes is a good manager. They're not going to get better than David Moyes anytime soon. So they just accepted it. And a West Ham fan ran up and went, "Mate, you can say all that. You'd have to go and watch it every single week. Go there, pay an absolute fortune in a stadium that isn't Upton Park to be bored out of your mind. Because every now and then we'll get a big result against a good team by playing defensive counter-attacking football. We just want to be entertained." And as a man who experienced that football for years, where you'd put Tottenham on and you'd have your phone in your hand like that, because that was more interesting than waiting for us to get the ball back. So I'm with the West Ham fans. Fuck them.
Okay. Let's run through some...
I've literally got my kids are going to be out of school in like 4 minutes.
Right, we'll leave it there then. If you do want to see some of these one-week bands, they're brilliant. They're here. Enjoy. There they are.
Do a couple while I'm packing up.
Okay. Yeah, good chat. I'll do it myself. So one-week band, Joey Barton, I saw in there. Follow me. I've muted him now. Can't see it. Which is good.
He followed you?
Oh, no, not muted. I've got rid of him.
No.
Whatever. Where we go. Thomas Martin, people crying disaster after England's last two games. I think we touched on that.
Yeah.
Talk of England winning the Euros. Is happening, though. Is happening. Daniel Rolfe. Yeah. Any human who mentioned Maynou having a bad game yesterday? Who said that? That's Marv.
Could we win it?
I think we are going to win it. Anyone crying over flags? We speak about that in the mailbag this week. Quite interesting take from Flav on that one, actually, which I agreed with. Who else? Football Twitter. Jordan Henderson discourse. Which we touched on briefly. Sorry about that. Just people just generally sick of that. But we don't end on that note. So anyway, Flav's got to go. And I hope you enjoyed the podcast. And come on, Queen's Park Rangers. And Luke Stokes, if you see me, fucking walk the other way, mate, because I'm your Birmingham fan. Big games Friday. I am going to slap you up, mate. Playing? Slap you up.
I'd be well up for you for kicking the shit out of him. Just full disclosure.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's happening. Don't worry about it. Right. See you later, everyone. Good. Goodbye.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.